Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose way of life is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbour and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honours those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken.
Good evening. Shall we pray before we look at Psalm 15? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Heavenly Father, may we just see Jesus tonight and praise him and worship him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So who would you welcome into your home? Who would you'd want to come and live with you? Who may dwell in your house? Not for a weekend, not for a fortnight, but permanently. Who are you willing to share your home with? I reckon our list of requirements will be quite stringent. Not many people would fill the list. Would it be only family, male or female, young or old, non-smoker, in good health, somebody who could pay their way? Sexuality might be on the list. Issues and addictions. I guess the list of requirements would be quite tight and not many would qualify for a permanent place in our homes. Family, maybe a close friend. A few weeks ago, a homeless man passed through our church. He wanted a lift to Serpentine Woods where he would spend the night. And there was a few of us willing to take him to Serpentine Woods, but the task fell to me because he was on my way home. I dropped him off on the side of Serpentine Woods, gave him instructions where he would find the stile at the top of the hill, and left him walking up the road. I went home to my three-bedroomed semi with a garage with crumpets and cheese. Who may dwell in my house? Well, you can draw some conclusions from this. But let us turn to Psalm 15. It's on page 549 of the Church Bibles. And King David, the author of this psalm, asks the Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? Both of these are God's visible representation of his presence amongst his people. No one could live in the presence of God because of their natural state, which we discovered last week in Psalm 14. Just cast your eye on verse 3 of Psalm 14. All have turned away, all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Man had been driven out from the presence of God following the sin of Adam and Eve when they became corrupt. The tent and the mountain are visible, as I've said, representation of God's presence amongst his people. For the sacred tent, we need to look back in the history of the Israelites. Having been led by the Lord God from slavery in Egypt, we find them in the desert of Sinai, and God speaks to them through Moses. Just let me read to you from Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8. And it's the Lord God speaking to Moses. Then have them, the people of Israel, make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. And God gave specific instructions on how to make this sanctuary, this tabernacle, this sacred tent. This was to be his dwelling place amongst his people. But his presence had to be approached with care, observing all his commands. And we know from Leviticus 16 that only one person, the high priest, on one day every year could enter into this sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, into the presence of the Lord, not to dwell or live there, but to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people. Man, as he is in his present state, cannot live in the presence of God, in his dwelling, the sacred tent. And if this question was asked of the people of Israel, who can dwell in the Lord's sacred tent? Well, they would have answered, nobody. And that was because that was their experience. And that's why David is asking the Lord this question. So nobody can live in the sacred tent, but what about the holy mountain? Who may live on your holy mountain? Once again, this is God's visible representation of his presence. Just turn back to Psalm 3 and verse 4. This is once again a psalm of David. And he's saying, I called out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. The holy mountain where God is present. Just turn back another page onto Psalm 2. And if you look at Psalm 2, verse 6, we'll discover something about God's holy mountain. Psalm 2, verse 6. I've installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. The Lord's king will live on his holy mountain. And that is significant to David, because he's received a promise from the Lord. Just let me read this promise from 2 Samuel 7, verse 11. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood. And I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. The king, this king who can live on the holy mountain, will be a descendant of David himself. And what follows in our Psalm 15, turn back to that now, in verses 2 to 5, are this description of this king. Verse 2. The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous. Others in the Bible have been described as blameless and righteous. For instance, Job. Chapter 1, verse 1. This man was blameless and upright. And in Genesis, Noah 2. He's been described as Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. But this king, living on the holy mountain, is set apart from the rest of mankind, as he is described as speaking the truth from his heart. Now, truth in the Psalms is God's truth. It belongs to God. Let me just go through some Psalms where truth is mentioned. Psalm 25, guide me in your truth. Psalm 26, I will walk continually in your truth. And Psalm 131 states that the God of truth, that God is the God of truth. Psalm 40, your truth always protect me. And Psalm 43, send forth your light and truth. And Psalm 51 states that surely you, the Lord, desire truth in the inner parts. And here is a man who can live on God's holy mountain who has truth in his inner parts. We stand in a time of greater understanding than David. We have the gospel writers who identify the Lord's King. Just let me read to you from John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We can identify God's King who will live on the Lord's holy mountain as Jesus. And if we contrast him to the people of Psalm 14, here we have someone who is unique. His heart is not like the heart of those in Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. But here we have a king who speaks God's truth. What comes out of his mouth is no slander. There are no evil schemes in his heart to do wrong to his neighbor. There's no evil thought towards others. His mouth never casts any slurs on others. God's king is blameless and does what is righteous. This is who can dwell in God's sacred tent, who can live on his holy mountain, who can live in the presence of the Lord. But let's just consider verse 5 and see how the king rules, see how, that he rules true to God's word. Verse 5, he lends money to the poor without interest. Just let me read to you from Leviticus chapter 25. If any of your fellow Israelites become poor and unable to support themselves among you, help them as you would a foreigner and a stranger, so they can continue to live among you. Do not take interest or any profit from them, but fear your God, so that you may continue to live among you. You must not lend them money at interest or sell them food at a profit. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to give the land of Canaan and to be your God, so that they may continue to live among you. No one will be lost under this king. He will ensure his subjects will be able to continue to live in his kingdom. And the second part of verse 5, and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Just let me read to you from Deuteronomy 10 and see the divine qualities of this king. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. God-like qualities of this future descendant of David. And we see this clearer now. Jesus, who in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The answer the Lord gives to David is, one of your descendants will live in my presence, my king, whom I will install on my holy mountain. He will be like me, speak truth, rule according to my word, loving his neighbor as himself. The title of this evening's sermon is The Question That Matters. Who can live in the presence of God? And it matters because of the final words of this psalm. He who does these things shall never be shaken. This is much more than being taken by the lapels and being given a good shake. But we find a definition in Psalm 125, verse 1. It says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Not to be shaken means to endure forever. He who does things shall never be shaken. He who does things shall endure forever. Going back to the promise the Lord made to David in 2 Samuel 7, he said, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever. Your throne will be established forever. The kingdom promised to David will not be shaken. It will endure forever. But how do we get into God's kingdom? How can we live in his presence? We need to be like the king. Blameless, righteous, speaking truth from the heart. But David concluded in Psalm 14 that all have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. No one is fit to live in God's kingdom with the king. But hope is found in verse 4. The king despises a vile person, but honours those who fear the Lord. Our queen honours her subjects on a birthday and at the beginning of every year. The honours are used to recognise merit in terms of achievement and service. For instance, at the beginning of this year, Ringo Starr, an ex-Beatle, was awarded an MBE, Member of the British Empire. Ringo Starr, MBE, awarded for his services to music. He has been rewarded for what he has achieved in a lifetime in music. And this is hugely hopeful for David, that God's king is positive towards those that fear the Lord. He regards them with great respect. He values them. He appreciates them. He may confer privileges on them. He may reward them. He honors those who fear the Lord. But notice in verse 4 that amongst mankind there is a dividing line, not good and bad, because all are corrupt and there's no one that does good, but a dividing line between those who fear the Lord and the vile, those who say there is no God. And this, you know, is a mystery for David. The psalm ends by saying those who do these things, described in verses 2 to 5, will never be shaken. But David knows that no one does these things. Yet the king honours those that fear the Lord. Probably more hope and mystery for David at the end of verse 4. Who keeps an oath when it hurts and does not change their mind? Our king is a trustworthy person. He keeps an oath. A man of his word. A man who keeps his promise even at the cost of hurt to himself. Faithful to his word. His mind is set. He does not change his mind, not going from one plan to another. And there is hope for David here too. Going back to the promise that the Lord made to David when he said he will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That the God's king is going to do it. Mystery. But he'll be hurt in fulfilling this promise. So we've gone through there. The psalm, King David asked the Lord who can live in his presence. We are told in Psalm 2 that God's king will live in God's presence. The Lord gives a description of his king, blameless, righteous, speaking truth from the heart. And he has divine characteristics, showing no partiality, accepting no bribes, defending the cause of the fatherless and the widow. And there is hope for others to live in this kingdom with the king, who honours those who fear the Lord, but who may be hurt in keeping his promise. And the promise of the Lord that this king will endure forever, his kingdom will never shake. But what would have been a mystery to David has been revealed to us in Jesus. We've already pointed out that only God's king could live in God's presence. And we know that through his hurt, more can. Let me just share you some words from the gospel and some comments about Jesus' suffering as he went to the cross. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return, but he suffered, he did not threaten. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. In the middle of the night before the high priest, they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him. Before the governor, they scourged him, his body torn down to deep-seated veins and arteries. Soldiers began to cover his face and strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy," and the guards received him with blows. A crown of thorns was pressed down on his head. They were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. In this condition, he was unable to carry his own cross. He was stripped. His hands and feet were nailed to a cross. The mocking was unrelenting. "Hail, King of the Jews! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Even one of the criminals crucified beside him railed at him. He was utterly abandoned. All his disciples left him and fled. The only person who knew God, who could live in the Lord's holy mountain, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. The one who was fit to live in God's holy mountain in the presence of God was despised by man. He was despised as a vile man so that he could honour those that fear the Lord. And what honour does he bestow on those that fear the Lord? Colossians 1:21 tells us, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach before him." He gives a new standing, a new life. He makes us fit to live in the presence of God. The entry requirements laid down by the Lord in Psalm 15 are met through the honor Jesus bestows on those who fear the Lord. Psalm 14 ended with a yearning. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores his people. Salvation has come in the person of King Jesus. Through his hurt, those that fear the Lord have been honored. Through faith in the Lord Jesus, we are rewarded with a walk that is blameless. Our actions are righteous and speak truth from the heart, fit to live in the presence of God with King Jesus. And that is the question. Have you received this great honor from Jesus? An honor you don't deserve. Life in God's kingdom that endures forever. It is the question that matters. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy mountain, those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And for those of us who have made that response, it is praise and thanks to Jesus. Thank God for Jesus and his perfect record of blameless living that we are admitted into his kingdom because of his merits alone. Thank God for the wonderful prospect of living with him forever on his holy mountain. And ask God to help you to become more like Jesus so that your life reflects his blameless life a little more today than it did yesterday. And we can use this psalm to help us in our confession to our Lord, asking such questions as, has my walk been blameless today? Have I done what is righteous? Have I spoken the truth from my heart? Have I uttered slander? Have I wronged my neighbour? Have I cast slurs on anyone? Have I honoured those who fear the Lord? Have I helped the poor today? Have I been impartial with everyone? At the beginning, we asked who you would invite to live in your home, not for a week or two, but permanently. Our Lord God invites everyone, the sexually immoral, the impure, the lustful, the evildoers, the greedy, the slanderers, the gossips, the arrogant, the boastful, the murderers, the wicked, to his home. Let's praise and thank him because that's us. Without Jesus, we'd all be shaken. Amen.